used to read Wizard magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 340. I'm in a different seat. Everything's off. I don't know what's going on.
I'm in the third different seat in the past month.
Well, you're in Josh's seat. Spencer's in my seat. I'm in Adam's seat. Well, I guess it's not really Adam's seat anymore since he's abandoned us. Slide up. Sorry. I was moving the whole table.
Okay. Yeah, because the table just would have slid.
But then they would have had to have moved. I would have inconvenienced many people. I try not to inconvenience people.
Well, now I'm inconvenient, so I gotta move up. Not really. Y'all can hear me.
But
I will move up, though.
I'll choose to.
You're up.
Just because you want to. Not because you had to.
That's true. It's my choice.
So, now that we're done moving chairs, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Spencer,
Dave,
Pat.
So, Josh has fleas. and Adam has abandoned us. So he did make an appearance in the store today. I saw.
Did he?
Yes, he was here today.
He said he'll be here Friday.
Yep, for book club.
Oh, really?
I still gotta read that. Some, I don't know when I'm gonna read it. Probably Friday.
He survives.
Oh, I know he survives. I read it once.
Oh, okay.
It's just a reread, so I know. Yeah. Can discuss it, but I know the basic story. Oh. We have some questions.
We do.
Now, Mike, I do apologize. I did not review your question. We're going to get to that next week because
Josh isn't here.
Josh isn't here, and I don't want to half-ass it. It was a really good question. It was really in-depth. So, here are some of the questions we got today from Zach. We haven't heard from Zach in a while.
Oh, wow.
He says, was Infinity War supposed to be an event or not? Because it feels like an event. Or I feel like as an event, it's completely DOA. I don't know. I read the first issue of the Infinity Countdown, and it literally was a Guardians of the Galaxy issue. It was Rocket and Groot doing something, and I had no interest in the series. Then I read Infinity Prime, which was the first one.
That's Optimus's brother.
No. And it was okay, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And maybe I needed to read the other stuff, but I'm not. It feels like an afterthought.
But therein lies the problem. Every comic book is somebody's first. You should be able to pick up a comic.
It is. I mean, no. I just meant it had no weight for me because I didn't know what all was going on. That's when Gamora took care of Thanos, which just seemed really odd in general.
Not really.
But
because if you're a modern Marvel fan, movies,
No.
It made total sense.
Right. But just it happened the same time as Infinity Wars was, or right after it was in the theater. So it's like, wow, you just killed the protagonist of your big movie.
Yeah, but in a world where you can go like that, and make everybody come back or
but
go
he can't,
away.
He can't.
She can.
Well,
there'll be some reason why she decides. Oh, you know what? Thanos sucks, but he's better than what we're dealing with now.
So. It just didn't really seem to have a lot of weight now they're doing these Infinity Warps and stuff, and it just...
Somebody who hasn't read it, it just seemed like they just kind of put out some series so they could put the word Infinity in front of it because of
very
the movie.
Very much. Well, Infinity War, it's Infinity War is the, movie. So, yeah, it does feel like an afterthought and not something super special. So, let's see if we got some. We got... Okay, is this from me? Not me, but me.
The person, me.
He says, he and his brother went to Baltimore Comic Con and loved it. What was my favorite cosplay and what restaurant did you try? Well, sadly, I was only there Thursday, so I did not make it to the show. Oh, I guess I should do a little recap of my Baltimore trip. Went down Thursday, left bright and early Thursday, like 4:30 in the morning.
That wasn't bright.
Mm-hmm. And drove down to Baltimore. Well, it was funny.
Oh, that sucks, too, because you hit them right in
No, everything was fine. It was fine.
You lucked out.
I was going to leave at 6 and get there at 10, but then they mentioned free breakfast at 8:45, and I went, I woke up at 3:30 anyway. It's like, well, I could lay back down for another 2 hours, maybe hour and a half.
Get a free breakfast.
Yeah.
Or I can just head out. And so I decided to head out. So I went down and got a... And actually, I beat most of the people that were actually in the hotel at the breakfast. But, you know, it was worth it. And then I was able to help out. Our thing ran from noon to 6, and then dinner break, and then there was a little after party. But it was, well, I didn't do anything there, like I wasn't a speaker or anything. I was just kind of there for moral support.
I thought you were on the...
No, I didn't know what if I was going to make it or not, so I didn't want to commit to anything.
Oh, okay.
So, but I was just there kind of for moral support and help out. Little schmoozing, you know, type of thing. I felt I should, you know, it's only, you know, it's not like...
You're on the board.
Right, and like Ralph, another board member, didn't make it from Vegas. It's like, okay, I can see that. But I think it went really well. I'm not sure exactly how many people were there. Like maybe 40 people, but a lot of, you know, non-members and members who had never made it to a meeting, so it was their first time seeing stuff. So I thought it was a real good, you know, sales pitch from us. Like I commented on a post on the board of directors thing. I said it was really good. Here's what we are. Here's what we do. You know, why aren't you part of it? Type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of, you know, show stuff, and it was really good. It was all filmed. It's all going on the website and things like that. So that was good. And then. We just went to dinner at the bar across the street Thursday night. I don't at Pratt Street Bar or something, only because it was pouring rain and nobody really wanted to go anywhere. I mean, pouring. It was like a soaking rain. It was nasty. And then we went back and they had like, Boom had a little presentation and...
No bus?
No bus, no.
Boom bus?
No, not at this one, no. But Boom was there, but they did have an open bar and you got two drinks.
That's not really an open bar, then.
Well, no, but it was. If you came to the thing, you got two tickets for being listening to their presentation, basically.
Okay.
And then you could go to the bar. But the funny thing was, I ordered a rum and coke, which is my drink. Shocking. And that's what I got. Basically, put way too much rum in the glass. Then asked if I wanted ice, and I said sure. And he put the ice in. And then realized there really was no room for the coke, so he just kind of topped it off with more rum and handed me a glass of rum and ice and a Diet Coke. And I'm like, okay, well, let's just say after that I was, I didn't need any more. I didn't need to buy any.
But you know what the best part is? Grimlock was there.
Well, it's actually that somebody gave that to Jermaine. It's a knockoff Grimlock. He had never seen it before. He's
was,
a big Transformers
I was broke
guy.
Growing up. I had a knockoff Grimlock because we couldn't afford the real ones.
Yeah. So, but that was good, and that was fun, too. It just, by chance, as I was driving down, I listened to, a Dreamer podcast. Dreamer's done by Omar Spahi, and let's see if I can make you guys not have no idea who I'm talking about. When, Kyle Higgins and Brian Bucciolato were here,
mm-hmm.
Omar was signing at Phantom of the Attic. He did a book called Cryptozoic, I believe. And he was signing there, and then he came down here with them, and then I took them all out to dinner over
right.
at Juniper Grill. So then I ran into Brian Bucciolato again later when I was in 2015 when I was in San Diego, and he remembered me, which was awesome. Hmm. Kyle Higgins was there, but he was macking on some girls, so I left him. But
hey,
Omar,
remember me?
Omar, for some reason, was at the Comics Pro meeting, and it was this last one in Portland, and we were talking in a bar, and like friended him either on Facebook or Twitter or something, and then he started doing a podcast, and I've listened to a couple of them. Well, he happened to do the most recent one, or maybe not the most, but no, it had to be the most recent one, was with Philip Sablik, the head of sales for Boom.
Okay.
So I listened to it while I was driving down, and then Philip was there, and I mentioned, oh, driving down, I listened. He's like, you listened to it before me, did I do okay? Did learn anything? I said, honestly, it was all pretty much stuff I knew about his career and stuff.
Okay.
The only thing I didn't know, I knew he worked at Diamond, and then he went to Image, and then he went to Boom. And I didn't ever knew he worked in purchasing at Image, so it was kind of funny. I'm like, I didn't know you did that. He's like, oh, yeah. But, so that was not, just a little connection, you know,
yeah.
putting a little bit of effort. They know me, which is really nice. And then, while we were drinking, Ross Ritchie, the president, the owner of Boom, came over and was talking to us about some different things. We were talking about them having the Buffy and the Firefly license and stuff like that. And it was just real good, and I got a lot of hugs from him. He was very happy with things I said. So it's like,
Okay.
He's a big Texan. He's just funny. Like I showed him on my phone that my fantasy football team is the Six Gun Gorillas. You know, I asked him if there was going to be any more of that and stuff.
What did he say?
No. But I told him that was one of my favorite books.
Did you tell him we did it for a book club?
No, I maybe did. I
did know. You tell him you probably sold half of all that you sold
in
that book?
That's true. That is very true. I probably did, yeah.
All
did.
On word of mouth.
I did sell a lot.
That was an awesome book. So yeah, that's
I
okay.
did that a lot. Sorry, Brandon. Brandon didn't like it.
Brandon doesn't like anything.
No, so far he really hasn't liked anything. And then...
What would you say you like?
Oh, Ken's interrupting. Oh, my goodness. Then Friday I got up, and the show didn't start till 1. And, you know, checkout of the hotel was 11. Not a huge deal. You could still park there.
Yeah.
But I was looking, and Joe of Captain Blue Hen, I looked, and it was only 1 hour and 10 minutes to his store. I'm like, well, geez. Instead of sitting here doing nothing, what?
You drive slow.
Well, no, that's the map quest.
Oh. You know,
when I Googled his address, that's how far it said it was.
I was going to say, 1 hour and 10 minutes.
No, but so then I was texting Jermaine, and he wanted to go see a comic book shop, which is in Wilmington. Joe's in Newark. And it looked like it was only 20, 25 minutes away. I'm like, okay, yeah, we can hit both. Now, it was interesting because Sarah, who's the owner, one of the owners of that store, this was her first meeting. I guess she's been in Comics Pro for a bit, but she'd never actually attended a meeting yet.
Okay.
So this was her first thing that she came to. So she, I guess, had a really good time. And so we went out there, and we just spent a lot longer there than I anticipated. And then we ate, and then we made it down to Joe's, but not to like 3.
Where'd you eat?
A place in Hearst Street, same mall called The Goat. Yeah, okay. It was okay.
I was going to say, because
I was not, actually, it wasn't. I didn't like it at all. It wasn't okay.
Well, no, because if you were in Newark, you should eat at Grotto's.
Oh, okay. Well, we ate in Wilmington.
Or Klondike Caves.
And we were both starving because neither of us had breakfast, and it was just one of those, oh, we're right there. So, next time. And then we made it to Joe's about 3, and then we didn't get back to the hotel till 6, and my whole plan was to leave, Johnny messaged me, are you on a radio show right now? I'm like, well, kinda. My goal was to go to the show and leave around 4, because normally I go in and kind of walk around a little bit, and there's not a lot of my shopping, it's just seeing people and leave. So I was actually leaving later, but it was like, than I expected. But I'm like, at 6 o'clock, I'll get home around 10.
Yeah.
So I never actually made it to the show. So I didn't see any cosplay or anything. Not a big deal. I'm happy we went. I think it was kind of neat, for her when we were coming. I think she was kind of like, wow, board member came to my store. Not that big of a look. But I think, but I thought that was kind of
neat. She thought that, and then she met
neat.
You. And
but I thought that was kind of neat for her first thing with the
You should have bought a pair of suspenders for that, so when you walked in, you could have...
Tell him with the law school. He already has some of those.
So, yeah. Sorry, I... So I mean, it was a great weekend. I was really happy I went and everything, but I do regret not making the actual show.
But again, you're not trying to buy anything. It's not like it's San Diego, where it's, kind of wall-to-wall top guys and
all that
going on.
All the top people there. That was pretty impressive. Well, it was there, and I wish I had, but it's okay. And, I needed to come back and work, and I had plenty to do.
Yeah.
So, let's see. What other
it's not like you won't see those guys again.
Right. Okay. Reflect on your youth. That's for me and Dave. What's the first comic book issue that comes to mind? The first one I remember specifically is Spider-Man 137. Green Goblin is in a control booth, and Spider-Man is swinging in through the window from the side, glass shattering and everything. It's just, every time I see that cover, it's like, oh yeah, that was probably the first Spider-Man I really remember getting. Or, there's another one I could give you. In 1976, at Fan Appreciation Day at the White Sox game. They gave the kids a little bag, and in the bag was it was a Brave and the Bold issue. It was I remember it has Bicentennial across the top, and it was Batman and Mr. Miracle, and they're both being frozen, and there's a guy standing at a control booth who's shooting a thing, and it's freezing. I don't remember what happened in the issue, but that cover I definitely remember. Dave, what of your youth? What's the first comic you remember?
Well, in my youth, you know, I got a lot of Archies and Casper.
Yeah.
And Marvel published the...
Blast from the Past.
And Looney Tunes, my dad would bring home for me. And Marvel used to publish the Hanna-Barbera books. I have Laugh Olympics number one. That thing is just torn to shreds, but I love that book. But the first, when I really started collecting Marvel, the first issue was Avengers 221. I'm seeing if I could bring the
okay
it up here. But it was it has it's like a checkerboard cover.
Okay,
and it says who will be the next Avengers.
Yep. Invisible Woman was just a blank.
Was just a blank.
Yep.
And it's funny now because pretty much everybody
on there has been.
On there has been an Avenger.
I want the Trick Rabbit safety flag.
Well, send it in.
No, it expired March 31st, 1976.
Oh, sorry, man.
I wasn't born yet. God.
But for some reason, that issue clicked with me, and I had to find out who the next Avengers were going to be, and it was She-Hulk, and... forget who the other one was.
Spoilers
from 1982. But that's the cover right there.
Yep.
And it's funny now because like all these people, you never thought of these people being Avengers back then. Spider-Man, Wolverine,
Luke Cage.
Rom's never been an Avenger.
So who's this in the
Daredevil,
corner?
But all these, they've all been Avengers by
except now. For Rom.
Well, except is that Dazzler? What about Dazzler? Has Dazzler been in the Avengers?
I don't think Dazzler has since she's a mutant, but other than Wolverine.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's the cover.
Oh, okay, great.
Oh, okay.
So it was Brave and the Bold 128. But yeah, that's pretty much exactly what I said. Yep, DC salutes the Bicentennial. Now I'll find the spider.
Nice.
Giving those away at the game is like that time's version of the giving issues away in the loot crate to bump up your numbers.
Right, well, yeah. Or somebody, some distributor, instead of sending them back. But yeah, there's the Spider-Man. I think I described that pretty good from memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So, Pat.
Yeah. So.
Spawn 1.
No. So, the one book I could have been like, older than like 8 or 9. It was like a GI Combat or something like that. And the only reason why I remember the book was they had like historical things, and it was talking about the Navy Seabees had like it was a gun built into a glove. So like when they were in the Philippines, you know, if they got attacked or whatever, they could punch somebody and shoot them. Because they couldn't, you know, like they wouldn't have time to go reach for a gun. And just for whatever reason, because I'm a sick individual, that just like wow, that was really cool.
Kind of like this, like the Wolverine, like you know, the claws are just they don't have to reach or go for anything; it's just right there.
Yeah. But like the first that I kind of remember everything of was the Nom number one, because my dad got those books, and we weren't allowed to read them, but dad works anyway. So I got three. Oh. That's actually why I bought all those non-books from you. Because I couldn't read them when I was a kid.
Okay.
I have like the first 50 of them or something like that at home.
So. Well, it was just a series taking place in Vietnam, or
yeah, and I mean it came out.
Was it Marvel or something?
Yeah, it was Marvel. It came out in like 80.
Bye, Tim.
See you, Tim.
You know, 88, 89, something like that. So like, it was under the comics code. It wasn't like there was anything in there that, like, oh wow. And yeah. And it was funny because like I wasn't allowed to read those, but he showed me Full Metal Jacket. Like,
wow.
Okay. what could be worse in this comic book that I wasn't allowed to read that? But yeah.
Spencer.
I remember like just like kind of like random issues of things here or there. Some really like Ultimate stuff, but like whenever I first got into collecting, it was like one of my first like ones I can really remember is the Amazing Spider-Man 500 issue. Like that's right whenever I like was like jumped on board and was like actually starting to get kind of like a pull list and that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, big like anniversary issue. It was an end of like a 3 or 4 part story arc. It had like Spider-Man. It was a nice like front and back double spread like cover like Spider-Man swing with Mary Jane in his arms and all the villains are in the background, and it was just a really cool, I think that was like right in the middle of Sissinsky's and John Romita Jr.'s run. But that's probably that was one of the big books whenever I look back of what kind of, when I was first getting in to actually getting comics on a regular basis, that was one of the first. And then, you know, had to go back and get, you know,
yeah,
the first five, the 500 before then, you know. Still haven't quite done all that, but, you know.
Awesome.
Good issue.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah,
Johnny's convinced he's hearing me through the radio.
That's really weird, but okay.
I was trying to give the station, so I was like, okay, let's try to figure out what's going on.
They're listening in on us.
Need a third party, us. Favorite summer of 89 Batmania memory?
I can't comment on this one.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't.
Summer of
89
Batmania.
Yeah,
that was the year the movie came out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I was going to see the movie.
Yeah, I don't remember. I was at college, going into my senior year.
I don't remember.
I was not blackout drunk.
Uh huh. Your parents aren't listening. It's okay.
No, they're definitely not listening.
I know I saw it at midnight. It might have been the first midnight movie I ever saw.
Nice.
Did you get any like cool memorabilia from the movie, like, you know, like posters or like a shirt or a hat?
I know,
like,
I know, then
they have like everything.
I know I got the cheap, you know, the bat signal. The glow in the dark bat signal T-shirt from like Gabriel's or something.
Yeah, I don't remember getting anything special. It was
but,
just like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
No, was that like? Were they constantly like running like trailers and stuff for like it, or was it?
No.
No.
I remember, you
people
know,
revolted about that movie. When
I was going to say when Michael Keaton was cast as like.
Because I was
this
like,
the guy from Gung Ho, how can he be?
And
Mr. Mom, how can he be? How can he be Batman? Oh,
I still like the idea of them doing a Batman Beyond movie and
having him be
the old Batman,
or even yeah.
Spencer, were you even alive then?
I was in diapers still. I was born.
Okay.
I was 88.
Oh, man.
Okay.
So yeah,
I feel so old.
Well, I mean, I remember. I had to wait for it to go to the Dollar Theater to see it. It sucked because everybody I knew had already seen it, but we couldn't afford it, so we took it to the Dollar Theater.
Did you have to worry about spoilers? back then with that.
Not
info.
Really.
No.
I mean, you know, occasionally someone would say anything. You know, you'd punch him in the head. And, yeah. Spoiler alert. You were the one that gave the spoiler alert.
That Prince music was everywhere, too. I remember that.
Backdance is awesome.
Backdance. Yeah, I'm not...
And Party Man. That's like one of my favorite scenes in a movie. He's wrecking the museum.
Yeah.
I still say I love that movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I loved it, too.
And even though he's not Flash, he's Flash. But you know who that is? It's Porkins from Star
right,
Wars.
Right, right. Oh, right, yeah.
I forget what the hell his name, character name is in the movie.
I don't remember.
But it's clearly meant to be Flash. What? Yeah, so Summer of Batmania.
Okay, some more questions.
Colin doesn't remember it because he's blackout drunk.
I was not, but I don't remember. I remember being excited and going to see it, but I don't remember anything. Anything else? I have good old Steve College.
Drunk and running around. I'm Batman.
I was probably working. I don't remember. But yeah, that would have been the summer before my senior year. Okay.
You were drinking.
Colin, I've been to State
College.
Deny
there is
that
nothing
I had
else to do at State College.
Okay. This is interesting. This is from Lord Retail. Bow. Genuflect.
Oh, no. Last person called himself Lord on this planet ended up on a piece of wood. Be careful what you call yourself.
What is the last feedback? What is the last feedback you got on a series that made you think, what comic did they read? People read things differently and arrive at different conclusions, which is actually a good thing, but I mean someone who arrived at a really odd interpretation of content. Well, I honestly can't think of anything specifically regarding that. I know the last time it happened was when the Captain Marvel trailer broke, and I got confused, but I wasn't the only one confused.
No. But that's also meant to be vague, whereas
right.
a comic book kind
of... Yeah, I can't really think of anybody coming to a different conclusion other than, you know, there's been a lot of that where people are coming to different conclusions that they, you know, want to come about different things, but that's a whole other thing.
Well, I think also, like, we draw conclusions sometimes of what we think is going to happen in a future issue, but...
Yeah, I can't think of anything... Offhand, I do apologize, but it is something I will definitely pay a little more attention to.
I think that's one we need to think about.
So we'll come back to that.
I notice that more like in the shows and movies and stuff like that than in the actual like comic books. Like people would know
something, right? I'm blanking right now.
Okay, so moving on. Christian asks, it's October already. Less than 3 months in 2018 left.
Oh wait, I got. His name would ever come to you and said, I really like Space Punisher. Then you could say, what the hell is wrong with you?
No, but that liking, lots of people like different things. That's my biggest answer.
Okay, if they come back and you say, that was really good. No, it wasn't.
Well,
that was horrible.
But I think it's more a case of, I can't believe they ended it this way, where it's actually, well, no, actually, it didn't end that way. It ended this way. That's my one big thing I was thinking about. There's a lot more of this brouhaha stuff going on. But I was just thinking about, so what, you know, there's lots of books for lots of people. And just because you don't like a book doesn't mean somebody else doesn't like a book. So I don't understand why people are trying to shut down other people. So
there was a NPR, they have a show on there called Reveal. And they did an hour-long thing about Comicsgate.
Really?
Yeah, it was really interesting because it's NPR, they really try to get both sides of it. Like, they had the woman that wrote Mockingbird.
Yeah.
They brought her on, and she talked for a bit. The VP for character development and something else at Marvel, they brought her on. But they also talked to some of the guys that were doing the alt-right comics, or the alternate hero comics, whatever. And Chad Dixon was also on it. And the one thing that he said, the guy that was interviewing him was, you know, a comic nerd from going way back. So, like, you know, he
knew what he was talking about.
Not only did he know what he was talking about, he was like, I specifically bought books because it had your name on it. How can you associate yourself with this? And one of the points that Chad Dixon brought up was he talked about how, you know, Marvel brought back the Rawhide Kid and then made him gay. And, you know, what he said was, like, you know, look, I think it's great that you want to have characters that you feel represent you and kind of speak to you. That's fine. But create a new character. Don't take a character that's already established, has a backstory, has this, and just completely change it to change it. Which is a valid point, but
how often do they do that and it just...
Well, no, and that's what the interviewer said was, well, but you know as well as I do, it's very hard to have a character come out and hit. So sometimes it's easier to do it this way. And then the other point that got brought out was, because this isn't the way you would have told the story, doesn't mean that that's the only way to tell the story. And I think that there's some truth to that. Now, I kind of agree with some of what Chuck Dixon was saying. If you have Thor, don't make Thor a woman just because you need more diversity. That's stupid. But it works as a what if or something like that. Like, hey, what if Jane had been the one they originally picked? Like, but don't erase a character's history just to add diversity.
He didn't erase it. He just was not worthy for that period.
Because Nick Fury whispered something in his ear. That was stupid.
I agree. I was hoping for a much better payoff on that.
That's bad storytelling.
Right.
So, I am not a comic book writer. I'm not saying I could do better. But that made no sense.
Well, that's the thing, like, with writing. You could have, like, the same, like, idea and have five different writers write that, and they'd probably mostly be different. Like, you know, it's all the writer's take and thought on the character and the storyline, like...
Yeah. Well, it's just like, if, you know, we all kind of have a basic idea of what Batman is.
Yeah.
And when you read Scott Snyder's Batman, it's different than Tom King's Batman.
But both are good.
Right. It was different than when Buccellato wrote Batman and Detective. It's different than, you know, Bob Kane certainly wrote Batman. Yeah. It doesn't mean any of them are wrong.
That's Bill Finger.
Yeah. Not to hear him tell it. Well, I guess he wouldn't tell anything right now. But,
oh, it is Halloween.
Hmm?
It is Halloween, so... Yeah,
that's true. You know, but they all told Batman stories. They're just all different.
Yeah.
But, you know, where I think you can establish a character, if they would have turned around today and said, well, Batman was gay the whole time, which would cause all kinds of other issues.
Especially with Catwoman.
Well, no, but I mean, that's just it. No, Batman's not gay. Like, not that, you know, he has to be a man about town and you know, bang every woman in Gotham.
He's a millionaire playboy.
He is a billionaire playboy.
That's true.
But, like, his established history shows that, no, he is not.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a gay character, but, you know, maybe not take one that's already that established. And they do that with other things, too, where you take a character that's like a one-off character, and, well, we're going to give them their own series because they showed up in one issue. It doesn't always work.
Yeah.
They had that Alpha series because he showed up one time in Amazing Spider-Man, and then, oh, well,
oh,
that
yeah.
was... It's like,
That did not do well.
Right, because, like, I mean, the concept of the character was interesting enough, but give, you know, get him in the books every once in a while over a year or two, and then...
Build up a fan base.
Right, and then try to do that. You know, it's just, well, we need more diversity. Well, we're going to change all our characters to women. Okay, I don't know if that works. At the same time, though, I'm not going to say Marvel can't do that. It's just, okay, I don't want to read about a woman Thor because that's not Thor to me.
But there are a lot of people that might want to read
right,
about
no,
it,
so, you know, I'm not going to scream at the, you know, at the writer and say, what you did was the wrong thing, or it, I'm just not going to buy the book. That's, you know... Iron Man. When they said Iron Man isn't Tony Stark, he was actually adopted.
That's dropped it.
Yeah, like,
that's been a big thing for you.
It's not because he's gay. It's not because he's a woman. It's not because he's black. It's not
Stark.
Yeah, like you took something that was absolutely critical to him and just said, "Nope, that ain't the case anymore." That bothered me. Mm-hmm. That bothered me more than anything else I could have done.
Yeah.
So all I did was I stopped reading. I don't get on Twitter and start a flame war with a creator. And, you know, look, you're paid to write the story. You don't own the character. Marvel owns the character.
Yeah.
Disney owns the character. They didn't have a problem with what you're doing. So who am I to say? I don't own the character.
And you haven't went back since.
No. Okay. No, I mean, had at the end of one of these events, they went, everything's back to normal... Or had Tony wake up and go, oh, the last 5 years of Marvel was just a dream, I'd be right back on it. But since they didn't go the Bob Newhart route, I can't do it. Sorry.
I was thinking Bobby Ewing in the shower, too.
Yeah.
He
from
did.
That. I don't know, Dallas.
You were thinking about Bobby Ewing in the shower.
I can't, you know, I did. Was. I was.
Okay.
Okay, Christian, we'll get back to this. It's October already, less than 3 months left in 2018. What are some of your favorite single issues and comics arcs so far of the year? And what comics coming out before year's end are you particularly excited for?
Single issue in an arc?
Or just single issues and comic arcs so far.
Okay.
That's my problem when we always try to do those year-end things. It's like, I can't remember what came out in February. It's a blur. I'm lucky if I remember what I read 2 weeks ago. Looking forward to Mr. Miracle ending. He wraps that up. No, I mean, it's been great, but I'm very, very interested to see how that goes.
I don't know how he's going to do it in one issue with where they left at.
Well, yeah. I'm sure he has a plan.
I'm sure he does, but that's a jumping on point to a whole new set of 12 issues. Not
maybe that's the plan.
After reading... Justice League Odyssey, I want to reread Justice League No Justice. Just a lot more seemed to have been going on from that than I really remember. I read it, but I just, for some reason, I'm not remembering a lot of stuff, but I'm very much enjoying Odyssey and Dark. I'm a couple issues behind on regular Justice League. I don't remember it being super fantastic. I thought it was interesting. But I am liking those books that are spinning out of it. Yeah, other than that, I'm awful for this kind of thing. It's just... Because I read so much, not necessarily that I love or that I want to read, but that I have to read. That's not the right word. But should read. We had a little interesting discussion on my retailer group. One guy just saying, basically last night, he was just too tired to read and he felt guilty, but he remembered somebody telling him that after a while, the only things they read were the books that they really enjoyed. They just, they'd lost the passion for reading all the stuff. And I said, I haven't lost the passion. I read what I can, but there are certainly some days where, like last night, it was funny. Big stack I wanted to read, got home, ate. I was whipped. I have to give Adam credit. The two of us worked very well on Tuesdays, processing the order and getting everything ready for Wednesday. And doing it all myself is exhausting. I got home, I was just...
Oh, yeah, white. You got to, like, move everything and
well,
reset.
Move the wall, make the tags, check in. It was a 15-box order. Normally, it's 9 to 11. It was a much bigger order this week.
How many books normally come out in a week?
I don't
know. A rough guess.
How many?
Would they fit in that section?
Absolute titles? No, probably not.
No, just the ones that are brand new.
That's what I mean, probably not.
I was going to say, why don't you just do...
No, you know what? A lot of stores
do that. And
that gives
you a week.
Yeah, a lot of stores do that. I prefer to have them spread out. Just so you'll see the thing next to it. You'll go, oh, I missed this last week. And it, you just happen to see it because it's right next to another one that you're getting.
Yeah. I guess it would make it easier, too. Like, if you saw something and then went at a couple issues behind it, you know, if it was going on other than having to go.
And also, really wouldn't change because I'd still have to make the holes to move the stuff from last week over there. So it... And also, like, this would be
you could filter that during the week as opposed to...
Not really. You'd want to leave that for the whole week. You know, Saturday's a busy day. And I wouldn't want it there because this would be a huge congested spot. That's the other thing. So this way, everybody's not standing in one spot. So I remember the store that I shopped at as a kid had just a bunch of little waterfall racks, and there were times where you're just standing waiting for it to clear so you could even get in.
Yeah,
to see
I didn't
them.
Think of that. But
well, I don't think you get that as much here, where you can pretty much slide in from the side if somebody's standing in front of you.
Yeah, because
we're never packed on Wednesday. I mean, like packed. It's busy and steady, but there's never a moment where there's 100 people in here. It's chaos.
Dogs and cats living together.
Exactly. But there's just a lot of stuff from you doing that dumb stuff. You know, alphabetizing the polls before I go through the poll to do my video. Just lots of little things. But yeah, I got home last night. And I was really spent. It was after 8, and I ate and sat on the sofa, and we were watching FBI, which we realized we really don't like. And Sandy had gone up like at 9:30 to go to bed, and I think I fell asleep at like 8:45. And I didn't sleep for long. I woke up again like 10:15 and rewound it to watch it, and then I realized I really didn't even care how it ended. it was just one of those dumb procedural things. I didn't really care. Then I switched over to the baseball game, and I got like a second wind, and I was watching the baseball game, and I read a bunch of books. And stayed up for the whole baseball game, even though I had no investment in either team. I don't know why I stayed up till 1 a.m. watching a stupid baseball game.
You had investment.
I wanted to see the Cubs lose.
That's investment.
Why do you want to see them lose?
It wasn't because I grew up a White Sox fan.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I was thinking Chicago.
And it's kind of funny because most of my high school friends are Cubs fans. So, all on Facebook is all Cubs. So I kind of enjoy seeing the disappointment.
Yeah, but growing up, it wasn't like the White Sox were very good.
No, but the Cubs weren't good either. Yeah, they both were awful.
But they did win the World Series for the Cubs.
They did, yes. And it was funny because I was actually out there and I really wanted to go. But
actually, that's why I was living there too.
Were you?
No.
Yeah, it was cleaning out my mom's house. She just passed, and it was kind of fun watching the World Series there. And it was really tempting. I'm like, I bet I could get one ticket outside.
Oh, I'm sure you could.
Yeah, and it was very tempting.
It probably would have cost you quite a bit of money.
It would have, but it was very tempting. But it was just one of those, no, it's not worth it. I'll go next time the World Series. No.
That could be 80 years. You're a White Sox fan.
It's okay, I know. It's okay. One cool thing is I've seen every one of my teams win a championship. So
shut up, Colin.
That's kind of a neat thing. In my lifetime.
You have one, Pat. Where do you get two?
I've seen every one of my teams except the Flyers.
When was the last time they?
Well, now they got that mascot. They're going to be there this year.
Great!
Oh yeah, it's going to scare the other players.
The evil love child of UConn Cornelius and the abominable snowman.
I haven't heard UConn Cornelius. That's good.
Yeah, the love child. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so
it was funny, but I haven't lost the passion. I still want to read them, and actually everything I read last night wasn't even the new number ones, even though I took a stack. There were like 12 or 15 number ones this week. Insane. Whoa. No, but here. Let me see. mean, I read Batman and Nightwing because I wanted to see how that resolved. I read Green Arrow and Green Lanterns because they were the foil. Mm-hmm. The Green Arrow was the Heroes in Crisis issue. Green Lanterns, the foil, I wanted to read it, and it was really good, and I want to read the next one.
I was disappointed that Nightwing 50 didn't get a foil.
I was surprised. Yeah, the next issue is. I don't understand
really?
That. Yeah,
oh,
yeah, the
okay.
next issue is. So I didn't read any of the voluminous number ones, only because I was a little tired, and, you know, it's not reading those other ones. I don't want to say strenuous, but yeah, it was just funny. I guess the longer you do this, the less of enjoyment it is. But I'm still enjoying it. So, any other books you guys best ofs for the year?
It's really hard to think of.
Yeah.
What about looking forward? Because didn't you say looking forward to? For
like that
the
Batman arc, the trial arc, I thought was really, really
good. Yeah. I thought it was really good. The end of the Superman run before Bendis, I thought was really good.
Oh, that was fantastic.
But,
that last issue was brilliant.
But the problem was, I thought that whole run from Rebirth to the end was brilliant.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, someone who has never cared about Superman, that made me care about Superman.
And then stuff like I've really enjoyed Bone Parish, just a different book. And I don't really, you know, that's when I read number 3 this morning, and normally I'm not, it takes a while to give me number 3s. Eternity Girl I loved, just a really bizarre little book.
Off the top of my head, the best thing I've read this year is Snagglepuss.
Okay.
Snagglepuss was very good, yeah.
Yeah, I still need
looking forward to, there's a new, in the new previews, there's a new clause coming out.
Okay. Did you pick up Lone Ranger?
In December. I got Lone Ranger,
okay.
Yeah.
I want to read that. I'm probably out. Yeah, I am out. I wondered what that space was now. I didn't order that, man. It's Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
You know, no offense. It's Lone Ranger.
They've
done it many times, and it's never
never
done much. And I think it had like 3 or 4 covers. I ordered, I think, two of the A and one of each of the others. Or no, I ordered a couple of the Allred because I have some Allred guys. It's hard. I'm sorry, Christian. Let me see. I think that might have been the last question. And then looking forward to, it all blurs. I'm looking forward to Doomsday Clock. I'm intrigued by the Green Lantern only because it's Morrison.
Yeah.
And I just have a bad thing. They put the, did I say, I know I told you, you got mad at me, but the Multiversity hardcover. Set that aside for myself. Maybe I'll reread that.
I'm only upset because I had to pay full price for
it. Well, it happens.
And it's Morrison, and I still haven't gotten all the way through it.
Oh, really? Okay. I enjoyed that.
Mostly because I
do
can't...
Do I know what happened in it?
And that's why. I can't just sit down and go, okay, I'm going to read this. Like, I wanted to understand what I was reading, and I know that that's a mistake.
Need some peyote before reading it.
I don't know. That might make it worse.
His
thing was on Remember Netflix.
That?
I want to
read.
Did you read that?
Yeah, yeah. I read the
Ant-Man
series.
Okay, great.
I actually have it in single issues.
That's my. Yeah, I do too.
He did a video, something about the God or something, and it was all about him and his work process and explaining stuff and chaos magic and all this stuff. I remember I was watching it one day.
Oh, I read his book, Super God.
Yeah, I want to read that.
Yeah,
I have
fantastic.
It. I have 2 versions of it. I have a hardcover and a paperback. I remember I was moving the wall and watching it on my phone one day, and it was just fascinating.
Yeah.
It was just some of the stuff about Invisibles and the filth. And
it's like a history of comics plus, you know, his personal stuff.
Okay, this was just all his personal stuff,
with
which is crazy.
Yeah, with his magic and all that stuff.
Craziness.
Yeah.
Craziness. So that's all the questions. Other non-review comments?
I don't think so.
Spencer, did you read anything last week?
I read some stuff.
Okay.
You don't have to be so sad about it.
Stuff.
I read things. Amazing Spider-Man.
Was it amazing?
I don't know if I go amazing, but it was good. It was
but the good Spider-Man
right. Yeah. It's the beginning of a new story arc. this issue plays a lot with Peter and Boomerang, which are real names like Fred something, I can't remember what it is, but with them being roommates, and he finds out like that Peter has, like, you know, I feel like somehow they got like into a discussion about something Spider-Man did, and Peter was like, no, that's not how it happened. And he was like, how do you know? And their other roommate, Robbie, who's the son of what's his name from the
Robbie Robertson?
Yeah.
Okay.
His son is, all three of them are roommates. It was like, oh, where, you know, Peter used to take pictures for Spider-Man a whole bunch. He's real cool with him. He's like, you know, like an expert on Spider-Man knowledge, not knowing that, you know, he's actually Spider-Man. So Boomerang gets him to go to, unknowingly gets him to go to the bar with no name where all of the supervillains like to hang out.
Yeah, that's been in Daredevil too, that part.
Yeah, it's been in some other titles. And gave him like a, called him like the liar or something, like, you know, because, you know, you need to be a supervillain to get in there. But the sole purpose for him to get there is because they were having a Spider-Man trivia night with a big cat prize.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
So he wanted him to come there to be, you know, partner so they could, you know, win some money. And, you know, he's like, yeah, you could pay rent for a couple months, you know, you'd be fine and stuff like that. And Peter at first didn't want to do it, and like as he was making a fuss and wanted to leave, he heard a couple henchmen talking about a job they were gonna pull and stuff like that. So he's like, well, I wanted to leave, but I could maybe stay and, you know, try to listen into these guys and figure out, you know, and try to stop this crime before they even get around to, you know, to pulling it. But then he gets caught up in the trivia night and gets, you know, his britches get all big and stuff like that. So just like a nice fun issue. I can't really remember how it ended. I don't think it had like a big like shocker conclusion or anything like that, but another solid issue. I've been really liking Nick Spencer's run so far, you know, on this title, taking it over. X-Men Blue, last issue of the series.
I flipped to the end expecting to see them go back in time.
Yeah. No. Yeah, they were just
like, are you ever sending them back?
Well, I think that, the whole thing is about them gonna go back in time, and they're getting ready. They're like, look, Lily's like on the time machine panel to send them back, and they see Magneto do something, and they're like, well, we can go back in a little bit. I think throughout the two runs, I think I kind of liked X-Men Blue a little bit more than Gold. So they both were alright titles, but I think Blue kind of ended, you know, a little bit, you know, I like that a little bit more. And then Extinction 3, which I think this is the series that they're going to try to send them back in time with. So,
sure.
Well, because, so,
we all thought it was Battle of the Atom, and that was, what,
yeah,
8 years ago? Feels like it.
Because they show young Cable in his hideout. I can't remember the guy. It was like Calvin something. I don't know if he's like an actual, like, mutant that, you know, was just kind of like an issue back in the day or something, or if he's just somebody he made up, but he's a mutant that has big angel wings, and he's all chained up, so it looks like he's gonna cut off those bad boys to put them on to Angel to get ready to, you know, so whenever he gets ready to send them back, because he's trying to fix them too before, but it was just like a lot of, the guy with the Abraham with the hounds that were attacking them, like in the first couple issues, apparently he had his claws in a couple different X-Men, because like how they had him broken up in different groups trying to keep him safe. I guess in X-Men Red, their base is like underwater somewhere. So that's where they have young Cyclops, and apparently he can control Nightcrawler. So Nightcrawler grabs Cyclops and just like baths him out into the ocean, and so they have to save him. And Jean Grey is the she's in an X-Jet flying like a Blackbird, flying somewhere with what's going to be the new X-Force team. But Shatterstar gets taken over and tries to attack them, and they Cannonball grabs him and jets out of the thing. But the main development is like Domino's like, hey, we're going to find out, you know, who killed Cable, this guy who killed Cable, and when we find him, we're not going to like bring him back to the X-Mansion and, you know, bring him to the, we're going to kill him. And if you're not okay with that, we'll drop you off someplace along the way to do this. And she's fine with it. So like that's where the issue kind of ends up, is with them crashing into young Cable's secret lair where he has all the other X-Men held up. So, with that, I think this is issue 3 out of 5. I think is what it is. So, hopefully, by the end of this series, they do get sent back into time, because I've enjoyed them here in the present, like, but I think it's time to kind of send them back. The Flash is dealing with another one of the new forces. I can't remember the name of this one, but it affects Mick, I can't, the fire guy.
Heatwave,
I couldn't, yeah, the name was just, I could not think of it. So he kind of almost comes like a walking, like, almost embodiment of, like, flames, like, it's just the beginning of a new story arc. I've been enjoying The Flash a lot, and like, it seems like each one of these new elements is going to affect a different rogue member somehow, is what it seems like it's going to be doing. There's a little bit more because Commander Cold from the future is stuck in our time now. So there's more like development with that. Iris has got some memories from the prehistory from whenever Wally was around. And you know, he touched her, so she started to get some, so she's kind of remembering her and Barry being married before, which I don't think this Barry remembers. It doesn't seem like he remembers that, but like, so it's dealing with a lot of like that kind of stuff with her having these two sets of memories and trying to handle all that. But another good solid Flash issue, and that's about it. I think everything else, I think you other guys read, so.
Okay.
Dave?
I'll bring up the marquee book from last week, Heroes in Crisis.
That was probably the marquee
number
book.
Number one. Plot of carnage in this issue.
Yeah.
But not really, though. Like, it was, like, the most PG carnage that I've seen.
Well,
like,
yeah. Well, a lot of dead bodies then.
Well, mainly two. Well,
there's more than two.
Yeah, I guess the
least,
people who ran the
least,
thing.
At least five or...
There was a few.
So we have Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman hurtling towards Sanctuary after finding out... something has gone wrong there while Harley Quinn and Booster Gold are battling it out in a bar.
It was a diner
close to Sanctuary, I suppose.
Yep. Which, I love that scene where they're talking.
Yeah.
They're just being humans.
Well,
that's
like Tom King's,
yeah,
like...
Is
he does real good with just like people talking, like,
yeah.
He like his dialogue is really well,
but it's not even the talking, because, like, you know, Quentin Tarantino writes great dialogue scenes,
yeah,
but it's not really how people talk.
Yeah.
That's what this was. It was just, you know, it was just, you know, a woman and a man
very,
sitting in a diner.
Very human.
Yeah, just talking. It was a very human moment. Until she stabs him in the neck with a butter
yeah.
knife.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's in the side, isn't it?
That's right, yeah, it was in the side,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. And accuses him of killing everybody.
Which, that's even one of the things that I don't know if I, like, have a problem with, but, like, you set up, like, this sanctuary, but, like, they haven't really touched, like, they've mentioned it,
yeah,
but you don't even really know what it is. So I hope as it goes forward, maybe they explain that a little bit more.
Well,
set up that could build suspense too. If you come into this without even hearing anything about what Sanctuary
yeah.
is, you might be, you know, I mean, I'm interested in learning more about and what
it's
about.
It's an interesting concept, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean,
oh yeah,
you know, kind of, you know, doctors feel, you know, you can't save everyone, and they kind of go through a PTSD. So imagine what, you know, Superman goes through when
yeah.
he can't save a building full of, you know, orphan kids. You know, he can save most of them, but one didn't make it.
Yeah.
And that's the one that you remember.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the 999 you save, it's the one you couldn't. And so, yeah, I think, you know, for the bigger heroes especially, that's going to weigh on them a lot.
Oh, yeah. Now, you would think it's a great concept for stories of how this affects the heroes mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's wrapped around the murder mystery here.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys think that Booster actually did it?
Well, based on, like, the... Remember that Batman arc?
Yeah,
where
I mean...
lost it. We'll have to see. I mean, it's a murder mystery, so I'm sure... You know, it's, and it's 9 issues, went from 7 to 9. So we'll see how it goes.
Here's the other thing.
And remember, Superman is holding Psycho Pirate's mask on the cover.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, not on the cover I got. I love the cover I got.
Yes, yeah. The
what cover?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah. It's the one with the picture of Superman being dead.
Oh.
But the picture is glossy. Like,
yeah,
it's,
I remember
a photo.
That.
So it was really
yeah, and
cool
then the,
oh,
the next one, the next one's Batman getting his back broken, and then I think it's Wonder Woman killing Max Lord.
Okay.
Ooh.
But Booster Gold is from the future.
Right.
So that doesn't really make sense. I mean, I guess I'm assuming this is a big event.
Right.
They would know about it in the future.
Oh, true.
So he would know it would have happened.
Well,
Skeets is broken, so...
And with...
So he can't travel to the future,
right.
But he grew up
but
in
I
the future.
But I think Skeets is the one that would tell... Well, sure, yeah.
Well, we also don't know, because I think originally Doomsday Clock was supposed to be mostly done by now, so we don't know if that affects anything, and what Manhattan has done to... the timeline and everything like that, which we can get into whenever we...
That's a good point, but I think if that was the case, DC would have held off on Heroes in Crisis. Because we're probably... There's, what, 5 issues left of Doomsday Clock? So we probably got a year and a half to go before that's done.
Then I hope they show, like... the characters that didn't make it, how whoever did it, like, you know, because they just kind of show them laying down on the ground. You don't see, like, a neck broke or, like, a hole through the chest or, like...
Yeah, that's true.
They all had massive heart attacks.
That's a possibility. Books look beautiful, though. The art in the book
was great.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, next new series from Ahoy comics. High Heaven, number one.
Was that last week or the week before?
That was last week. The week before that was The Wrong Earth.
Oh, okay. Well, I forgot to write that one down. I did read High Heaven. I read nine. Woo!
Wow.
This is about a guy named David Weathers.
And he's been, he a weatherman?
No, he's not a weatherman. He's been put at the starts with, he's been a malcontent his entire life, and his friend tells him to hit on this girl who's engaged, and then he gets hit by, he gets not killed by a piano, by a falling piano.
Oh, hate it when that happens.
And he goes to heaven. And he finds out heaven is like high school, and he hates all the...
Wouldn't that make it hell?
It was. I don't know. We'll see. But it was heaven.
apparently,
he was complaining in line.
He's waiting in line, and everybody, all the people in charge, hate him, and everybody there hates him.
These are the mean girl angels,
and he's waiting for his. He's waiting to see his parents, and they're not coming around. And until this lady Louise comes on her golf cart, and she's like reading from a script and kind of welcoming him to heaven, and takes him to a quote-unquote mansion, but it's just a dorm room. And I guess the mystery starts, you know, when his uncle comes. He meets his uncle, and his uncle tells him his parents escaped from heaven, and he's like, "There's an escape?"
Yeah, the pitch was that he's just a malcontent up there, but he had reason to be. You know, it wasn't like the lady showing him around, and it's like, oh, here is, I forget what they called the apartment, but it was, you know, his mansion, was like a one-bedroom apartment, in a tenement. It just, it wasn't all it was cracked up to be.
Yeah, I really, very satiric, very interesting. I really liked it.
There's two more coming out this month. Because I just did the TV show, so I read up on it. And one, they both cracked me up. One's called Captain Ginger, and basically humanity has died off and cats have inherited the earth. Okay. And it's this Captain Ginger has to try to wrangle the cats to navigate through, you know, life, you know, and all the disasters and things like that. I thought that was funny. And then the other one is Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror, and it's a combination of Tales from the Crypt and Drunk History.
I thought that was
okay.
With the way the Wrong Earth went, I'm like, I have faith that these guys can do that.
Well. Yeah, I like The Wrong Earth. I wasn't here that week if you talked about
it. Okay, I did.
Yeah,
I like that
time,
lot.
But it was really good.
Yeah. Number two's next week.
Okay, great. Star Trek versus Transformers, number one.
Is it more than meets the eye?
It was more than meets the eye. This is the Star Trek crew from the animated series. So it's all drawn in the animated series style.
Okay. I was going to say, because it used all the original voices, so that wouldn't be any different.
Yeah. But the Enterprise receives a distress call from this mining colony, and that's close to the Klingon border. So they go to check it out, and Kirk beams down with Spock and Sulu, I think, and
some guy in a red shirt,
and some guy in a red shirt, and there's a battle going on. The Decepticons are bombing or attacking this the mining colony, and you know, Kirk and them, they can't, you know, they recognize the planes from the 20th century, but they're all shot. No one's driving, no one's flying them. So they're wondering what's going on.
They're from that far in the future, or shot by planes that are automatic. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Optimus Prime rolls out, and he gets in the battle. He gets injured. And they're trying, you know, they're astounded how complex his system is. And it just leads to the, you know, the line we're waiting for of...
Damn it, Jim. Doctor, I'm a doctor, not an auto mechanic.
That's exactly what he said.
See, I didn't read the book.
He didn't say auto. He just said mechanic. But other than that, that was word for word. So they discover some of the other Autobots at the end. But it was a lot of fun. It was a fun issue. It would make a good animated animated episode too. I'd like to see it in animated form. And the second issue of Beyonders from Aftershock. This is a series. This kid,
it's in my pile. I didn't get to it.
This kid Jacob, who is rescued by this covert group called the Beyonders. He finds out his parents are robots. This issue, he's taken to the Beyonders headquarters at this little town in England, and he's pretty much given a history. There's a lot of exposition. There's a lot going on. You could read this issue a couple times, I think, and pick up new stuff. He's given the history. There's actually an Illuminati, but they're called the Order, and they've been trying to control the human population, you know, since the beginning of time. And for Julius Caesar, he was a member of this Order, and he burned down the Alexandria Library.
Okay.
And other members, kind of like Rough Riders, because they say other members of the Beyonders are Sir Isaac Newton and the Dalai Lama throughout time. And they have this code, this ancient code that they need to crack, and they think Jacob can do this for them. But it's interesting. It was good. Like I said, it's well. You can read it a couple times to pick up new stuff. So I think there's a well worth. You get your money's worth on the issue. And that's all I got.
Pat. You need 2-in-1.
Oh well, talk about 2-in-1. I don't know how much to say about 2-in-1. I don't know.
It just kind of wraps up the story arc with them on that other planet or other universe.
Yeah.
And them getting their power back and stuff. And
well, they.
I was hoping it was going to lead maybe into more of the main series, just to kind of, you know.
I know, because this the Sue Storm that showed up. She wasn't the Sue Storm,
yeah.
Right? She was from another.
It seemed like it, yeah. But I mean, it was still a good issue and stuff like that.
But it was good, yeah. And then the next issue we'll have Mr. Fantastic's
yeah.
in the next issue,
so
we'll see.
Well, they finally all get together in the latest issue of Fantastic Four, so
yeah.
Maybe he teleports them all, which I thought was kind of a cool idea. Like, yeah. They just didn't teleport Johnny and Ben over, teleport everybody who was ever a Fantastic Four.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
So, I think it's going to be cool having these kind of, you know, you have the main, you know, Fantastic Four, and then you have this side book where you can just take the different members of the team
yeah.
and go in these
yeah.
little, like, you know, maybe it's like a one-shot issue or maybe a five-story
right.
arc and stuff like that.
I know, because I'm still thinking it's going to tie directly to the Fantastic Four title, but it doesn't look like it's going to go that way.
I guess
I should check my expectations here.
Well, maybe they're waiting to and they get fully back, and you know,
yeah.
once
yeah.
the Fantastic Four are like back together, maybe it will tie in a little bit. But I think they're going to go more of just like these are just kind of some fun stories or just different other stories
yeah.
to tell,
yeah.
you know, with the characters. Which, like what we said last week, it's crazy to think that we went from having no Fantastic Four books to having 2 Fantastic Four books, but hey, as long as they're good.
That's good. I'm glad they're back.
Yeah.
In any form, that's good. Pat.
Okay. Doomsday Clock.
Yep.
So, for the second week in a row, we had a dong for some reason. This time it was Dr. Manhattan.
We didn't get much of it, though. It was more.
I thought it was average.
Yeah.
So, the guy can shape time. He can do whatever he wants. But for some reason, he just refuses to wear pants.
Would you wear pants if you could do that stuff?
Probably not.
Yeah,
no,
so...
I probably would not. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
He's a Donald Duck fan.
Who isn't?
And Donald doesn't even have the powers of Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, sure. He might. We don't know.
Well,
he has enough money, so that's almost kind of like having.
No, that's Scrooge McDuck.
Oh,
so
yeah,
he doesn't
Scrooge.
Wear pants
yeah,
either.
Yeah, Scrooge doesn't either.
Yeah. So, kind of stepping off from the last issue, they're all in the been captured by the Joker and Mime and Marionette, and they start torturing. Comedian, then somehow Ozymandias figured out the weird cat thing he had.
Yes, Bubastis.
Yeah, it was a clone of
Bubastis
the original.
Too.
Yes, it was a clone of the original, but could somehow, like...
Could then John kill the original?
Yeah.
No, John didn't kill him. He used the intrinsic field or whatever to try to kill John, and Bubastis was in there as the lure.
Okay.
So when he cloned from the DNA that he got from that, it had a little bit of John
in it. And he could use that as a tracking device
right.
for John.
Yeah, as John got closer to the cat, started glowing eyes.
But somehow, Captain Thunder's lantern played into it as, I guess, like an amplifier, maybe?
I'm not sure how that all
Well, that was
out.
Messed up in the beginning. Just
yeah.
John just
murdered. Yeah.
Alan Scott.
Yeah.
Let's just hope it was. Let's just hope
but he did. He didn't murder him. It was I just moved the lantern 3 inches over and he couldn't reach.
Well, let's just hope it's the straight Alan Scott and not the gay one, or he's gonna get into a lot of trouble for that.
Well, and not only that, I mean. What is the point of doing that? Like, you're just wiping, you know. Like, there's a butterfly effect. If all you had to do is move a lantern 3 inches, like, with all this other stuff you did, what's the butterfly effect going to be?
Well, we did do, because, like, you went into, like... he went into everything that happened after Alan, like, with, like, talking to Congress and all the other things, and then, like, what happened after him, like, after he died and stuff like that. Now, I don't know to what point... that plays out to, like, what that ends up as, but...
Well, think about it, then, all the Justice Society, you know, like...
Yeah, you don't
that
have...
never existed.
Yeah,
so...
you don't have Jay or Wildcat or any of those guys.
Yeah, so which, that was pretty messed up.
Yeah.
But Dr. Manhattan, he's lured to this area... where the Joker has everybody. And it's funny because he waves his hand and it's like black bars, almost as if the comic page itself
was
moving over.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Over.
This whole thing.
Yeah, it really has.
So well crafted.
And you know, then they kind of have a discussion.
Comic. He doesn't have cancer.
Yeah, which of course then sends Rorschach off the deep end. Which, I mean, it was a
and
short...
then explaining to Rorschach that actually he's wearing the mask of the person who destroyed his father. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just like, cool.
Yeah, John's a bit of a dick.
No, he's just a...
Well, is John the dick, or is Ozymandias the dick?
He says it like it is, yeah. And then what was up with Batman when Marionette was attacking with the garrote?
I think
and
it was
like
cutting.
It was cutting into his arm. It was just like, pretty strong wire.
Well, what about whenever Joker, hand tasered him in the face?
And his eyes lit up.
I feel like the
bad
the,
day for Batman.
Well,
it's
Batman?
Like, yeah, you guys go away.
Batman's been having a hard time in this series.
Yeah.
He has not been very Batman-like.
Mm-mm. Even had... the little quiet moment he had with the Joker, like, that's enough. Stay out of this.
It's so good.
No, it has been.
What's going on? I don't exactly know.
No, and that's the other thing. I'm
okay.
Like, we're more than halfway through it, and I really don't know what the point of this book is yet, but I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
All we know, this did reveal some stuff, that John... kind of stopped seeing past a certain point in time, and he knows Superman has something to do with it, but he doesn't know what.
Right.
It
looks like they're going to get into a bit of a fisticuffs.
Yeah, but, you know, again, it's...
You think John just, you know, be able to...
Yeah. Superman beats him. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess to jump on him, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
Again, it's another book. I don't know how you wrap this up maybe in 5 issues.
Maybe John...
That's sad. How do you wrap this up in 5 issues?
Maybe John... You know, at the end, realizes to save everything, he has to sacrifice himself. That's why he can't see anything. However months, what did it say, like 5 or 6 months, whatever it was. Which that seems like a lot of time to travel to within the book, like, you know.
Yeah, because it seems like everything here has happened in like 2 days.
Yeah.
Saturn Girls is crazy.
Yep. Yeah, just
with people from the future just losing it.
Yeah.
Her boost of gold.
But I really have enjoyed this a lot. And then the last one I read this week was Detective. You do? So
I've been really enjoying the art in this series.
You know, it starts off with Batman having a conversation with Alfred in front of the Bat computer, basically saying this guy wasn't who we thought he was, and, you know, well, you can get plastic surgery, you can do this. He's like, yeah, but that won't make it grow 3 inches, plus his eyes were the wrong color, plus the DNA came back from another guy.
I think he had some good back and forth with Alfred in this issue.
Yeah.
James Robinson has been on point so far with, like, I think that, you know, some people gave him some grief about his Wonder Woman and stuff, but, like, I think there's some characters he, like Batman, like, he can just, you know.
Commissioner Gordon looked really good in this, too.
Yeah.
So, Batman goes to fight the two, Fireflies, and we later see Tweedledee and Tweedledum, and he stops them, and then the pattern of two keeps coming up. So, of course, he goes to see Two-Face.
Yeah. Which I'm happy. I've been waiting for a good Two-Face story. There haven't been much of him recently.
Well, the other interesting thing is, like, you should have known I was coming. He's like, well, actually, you're about a half hour earlier than I thought you'd be.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, no, I'm not surprised at all. But what was also funny, there was a scene between the two Fireflies kind of talking about where they were on the villain ladder. It's like, okay, so, like, you got your Joker, and sometimes Bane, sometimes the Riddler, and then, you know, it gets down to, like, then you got, like, your Kite Man and us.
Yeah.
We're the third tier.
But I thought that was, I thought that whole scene, and then talking about, you know, he's like, what Batman doesn't realize is each time he beats me, or, you know, beats us, it's a new thing I learn. So, like, I'm losing, but I'm winning at the same time, and
he should be really good at this by now.
And how, like, it seems that he wants to start, like, an army of Fireflies, like, again, that's why I think Robinson does good with, like, those weird, like, little minor characters.
Well, it's kind of like Tom King. You're taking, you know, because what you said is absolutely right. You're talking about a third tier villain, but you're making it interesting.
Yeah.
You know.
Suicides.
Books just flying off the shelves, Colin. I still want to see the dark and gritty Condiment King, but, might have to wait for that. Colin,
you didn't read any Moon Knight?
I didn't get to it.
Okay.
Dave. I just didn't get to it.
Dave's saving the books.
Paper Girls.
Oh.
Just to give you a hint, it has that weird art in it from the couple from like that mind.
Oh, from the collective.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of that.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Okay.
We got issue 200 coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I read a bunch. Bone Parish number 3. I talked a little bit about this. Just continuing on, going in depth into a couple of the characters. there's this big, like, drug war, this, like, South American drug cartel is coming to take control of this. It's based in New Orleans. Also, New York wants a piece of it. Something bad is going down with one of the brothers. They're going to dig up some bodies, and they hired some guys to do it. All of a sudden, somebody's mowing them all down with machine guns. I think it's the drug cartel, and captures the younger brother. And it really doesn't look good for him at the end, as he's hanging upside down over crocodiles. The mom, who's in charge, and is, like, snorting the dead husband to get his memories and stuff to be able to talk to him, ends up going on a date with, I forget if it's, I think, either the New York guy or the cartel guy, and they end up in bed. And the daughter, who's the main chemist, keeps snorting the guy who developed the process to figure out how to advance it.
You have to find a better way to...
Well, they do is they take their like bones and make them into a powder that they
literally
snort. These different people, and it gives them their essence and stuff. Just really, really bizarre. Different.
Bizarre,
yeah. But it's a really, really different book. Nothing I've ever read. It's Cullen Bunn. I mentioned that.
What is it?
But he wrote something.
I'm really, really enjoying this. And yeah, for me to read a 3, it's got to really grab my attention. This one's really intriguing me. He also has Cold Spots 2 came out last week. I didn't get to that one, but I really did like the first issue of that. Stranger Things number 1. This is basically...
How was that?
It was good. It's basically the story of Will.
He was in the Upside Down?
Right, and it's kind of starting that, where something happens, and all of a sudden he wakes up in the Upside Down, and it's the whole thing is him trying to figure out what's going on, because... He doesn't remember being taken there, so it's just kind of, it's like he's in his house, but it's not right, and different things are going on, and
okay.
He finds a walkie-talkie, and he starts calling out, and so it was good, a little short. Art was okay, a little weak in a couple spots, but overall, if you're a fan of the show, I think this is a must-read.
Yeah, because we're not getting the show till like, April.
Yeah. Justice League Dark... Number 3, this wrapped up the first story arc before it's going into the big Witching Hour book event that started going in between Wonder Woman and Justice League Dark. Really good. The Upside Down Man, the super creepy guy, who apparently we stole magic from these people, and they want it back, but they've kind of been watching Earth and seeing what's going on. And Dr. Fate invited them in, and he's kind of turned evil. And this was an issue, too. He actually wasn't in this, but they were now dealing with this bad guy. And just really good. It goes on to, there's a little bit about Satana and her growing up and her relationship with her dad and the nature of magic. And in issue 2, it was revealed, I think it was issue 2, that Wonder Woman in her youth was, like, marked with this magic mark. And turns out, because of that, she is, like, super magic, and she was able to actually defeat the bad guy. Or at least back him off.
Isn't she a god?
She is, but something happened, and it's, like, underneath her, and he's like, what is this? And he touched it and, like, activated her. And all of a sudden, she had all this glowing light inside of her and power, and defeated him, and he kind of went off running. He's like, you know, we're still beat you, but this makes things so much more interesting. And this is leading into the Witching Hour miniseries that's coming up. It came out today, but my copies were damaged. But just really good. I mean, this guy easily defeated Swamp Thing. He pretty much beat everybody. John Constantine
impressive.
Had this sigil to take him down and did nothing. But Wonder Woman was able to deal with him. But it was really good. Justice League Odyssey. This was a neat book. Again, this is why I kind of want to reread... that No Justice, but it's Cyborg and Starfire piloting Brainiac's ship, which joined to him, but John, because he has his mother box, it's working, he's able to pilot it a little bit, but it's fighting him. Azrael has stowed away in the ship because he heard a voice calling to him, and John and Starfire also hear a voice calling, and they're trying to get to the Ghost Sector, which is being protected by Jessica Cruz. Not protected, but she's monitoring. It's held off. And what?
So I just keep thinking of Kermit the Frog. The Rainbow Connection.
Oh, okay. So this sector is where all the planets that were let go by Kolu when they let the prison out is this is in this area. So she goes to stop them from getting in, and something really bad is chasing, even takes apart her construct and everything, but they finally get in, they crash land on this planet, and lo and behold, who's the voice that has been talking to them? It's Darkseid. And he says there's a prophecy.
Darkseid is.
Yeah, it's a prophecy that it's the, I think it's like the princess, the machine, and the angel being Azrael. Okay. Are of the prophecy to defeat this thing.
So you just didn't realize it was the angel of death.
Yeah, but so that's why they're there. It was just really very interesting. I think it was by Williamson. So it's, you know, incredible writers. The art was by Stepan Sejic, which was beautiful, and I think that's why it's late, because of the art. But I thought that was really, really good. Next one, Maneaters. This is the one by Chelsea Kane, who did Mockingbird and was supposed to do Vision. And, I mean, this has been in the works.
This was they turn into, like, cat beasts when they get their period?
This is what happened. There's, like, some sort of virus or something in cat poop that everybody, if you have cats, it's a little bit inside you, and for some reason it affects, like, puberty, pubescent girls, and some of them it can affect in a certain way, so they've developed a thing to keep them from having their period. And then she, because they found that if they had this disease, for some of them it turned them into like giant panthers, and they killed their whole family and things like that, which isn't good. And it's following the story. This girl, mom's gone, dad's a cop, dad's investigating this murder where there's this partially dismembered guy, and then they found the rest of him up on the roof. And she's, you know, the whole thing, she's like a 12-year-old girl just talking about, you know, life and what's going on. And then at the end, she gets her period, which she shouldn't have. And it's kind of like, uh-oh. So, but interesting, you know, definitely a different, I'm probably not the target audience on this book, but it was interesting. It was a lot of fun. And then the last one I read was Fearscape, which was interesting. This is from Vault. And basically, like, once a generation, this muse, the, you know, writing muse, comes and gets the world's greatest storyteller to go to the Fearscape, where there's evil beings trying to come to us, and they're protecting us from these evil creatures. And it's basically, it's a war of stories. And so the whole story is about this guy who's meeting with his agent, and he translates books. He doesn't actually write them, and he's not even very good at that. He changes them too much, trying to improve the books he's translating. And the only reason he even has this job is he's a friend of this great writer who actually is, like, has Alzheimer's and stuff. And I guess he's written his last book, and he lives in his house. He goes to pick it up. The daughter comes and almost catches him. So he, like, steals it, but he was forced to because he had it in his hand and he couldn't let her see it. So he tucked it in his coat and all this stuff. And then the muse comes and calls him by this other guy's name, and he says yes. So now he's gone off with her to do this great thing to protect us, but he's actually a fraud. He's not a real writer. So it'll be interesting. So I thought that was a really neat book. Yeah, this guy's just a real piece of work. But Delusions of Grandeur. But it was really, really well done. I enjoyed that a lot. So that's all that I got.
Well, what's coming out next week, Colin?
Coming out next week. We got books coming out next week, Pat. We got all
stuff
sorts
and
of
things.
Stuff and things. Thank you. Okay, that's a podcast. We have Adventure Time Season 11. The TV show just wrapped up, but they're continuing it as a comic. They like doing that. I just like the idea of this one. Albert Einstein Time Mason, where he is there to protect the time stream. That's from Action Lab. Amazing Spider-Man 7. We have Archie's Halloween Spectacular. Should have been a spooktacular if it was me. That's okay.
Well, you got to be careful.
Or it would have been Afterlife with Archie.
Oh, that would have been good. Artifact 1 is a new one from Aspen. We have Avengers 9. Captain America 4. Catwoman 4 foil cover. Both covers are going to be pretty cool. Because another Archer. From DC, we get the Cursed Comics Cavalcade, which is a big $10 special. Detective Comics 990 is a foil cover. Devil Within, I believe, is a new one from Black Mask. Flash is getting a pretty awesome-looking foil cover where the lightning, as he's running, is all foily. From Hell Master Edition. This is a colorized version of From Hell. They're reprinting it. My guess is it's going to be more than just one issue, only because they're $8 a piece. Hawkman 5 is foil. House of Whispers, the next part of the Sandman one. Immortal Hulk. We have Infinite Dark, which is an image book. Infinity Wars 4. Jughead the Hunger 9. Woo! Last Space Race. This one is from Aftershock. Murder Falcon is an image one where monsters are attacking Earth, and suddenly this creature named Murder Falcon shows up to protect them, but he's powered by Jake, I think is his name, and his guitar shredding. So that's what powers him. Ninja K number 12. Phantasmagoria number 1. I can think of no better book for October than that book. Spider-Geddon number 1 with 4 million different covers. No, not really 4 million, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Oh, 12, sorry, one's a poster. We have Star Wars Solo Adaptation. So if you love the movie and you want to reread it, read it.
Pat?
Suicide Squad 47 is foil. Supergirl 23 is foil. And Superman number 4 is a foil cover. These Savage Shores, this is a new one from... Darn it, I don't remember who. But it's Rom V. So this one looks good. I want to say Vault again. We have Titans 27 is also foil. I'm going to come back to that. What If Punisher number 1. Wonder Woman 56, part of the Witching Hour. That's a foil cover too. Wrong Earth number 2, just for Dave. Only for Dave. Nobody else can read it. Just Dave. And we have X-Men Black X-Men Black Mojo. Not X-Men Black Mojo. Which is a completely different book. And then also on the 13th is Walking Dead Day. And I'm getting a ton of these variants that are coming in that we have to hold till Saturday. But basically, they're doing like a number 1 15th anniversary. Then there's also a one blind bag by David Finch. And then like all the special issues are getting special blind bag variants. So you don't know what you're getting inside, if it's a sketch, a pencil, a color. But they're doing it for issue 100, 108, 127, 132, 167, 171, then 19, which was the first governor. 227, which was the first Michonne, 48, which was the, spoilers, Death of Laurie, 53, I don't remember the significance of that one, 7, 92, 98, all sorts of special stuff. So that's all coming next week. That's next Saturday. The 13th is Walking Dead Day, where all this stuff will be on sale. Book club, we have 2 in October. First one is this Friday, where we are doing Batman Dark Knight True Story. And then on the 27th, this is the first announcement. I haven't announced it yet. Ready? Doing Lock and Key Volume 1, I decided. That was a good Christmas one, and it's being pitched again as a TV show.
I think it's actually on Netflix.
Is it? Okay, so I thought that was a good one, a horror-related one for October. I know a bunch of the book clubbers already have it, so I thought that was a good one. I'll have copies in on Thursday. That's all the event-type stuff we have going on in October. One thing I am doing, I'm doing a progressive back issue sale. Talking to some friends, they have had luck cleaning out their back issues, and I need to clean out the boxes. There's a lot of stale stuff in there. So what I'm doing is, between now and Black Friday, we're going to do an 8-week progressive sale, where every week discount will increase. So this week, all back issues are 10% off. Next week will be 20% off, and so on, leading to a big culmination on Black Friday. So of 80% off. So
when in the week is it? Does it
change on Sunday? I'm changing it on Sunday. Yeah, that made the most sense, just to start it and end it on Sunday, so there's no real confusion or anything. So that's going to be going on for the next 2 months. So make your want list. Bring your want list. Come dig deep. I won't be adding anything to the back issues because the point is to thin out and then restock later. So, but that should give me fresh stuff for December. Woohoo! So, that's what's going on here at the store. As always, you can find the website's Pittsburgh Comics. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram is PGH Comics. If you have any questions, please shoot me a note on any of those many places. If you want to join the podcast, come on down. We just sit and talk about comics. There's no previous experience needed.
So. We don't just sit around and talk about comics. I mean, they listen to the podcast.
They know what we do. So, but that's all I got. Dave!
That's the podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Clear his throat.